We have been chasing the G's for a couple decades. 3G, 4G, now 5G. And that fueled, and especially 5G, it fueled some massive CapEx budget. Prior to 5G, there was somewhere between $13 and $15 billion a year per company in CapEx spending and network improvements. Next thing, the CapEx is $22 billion a year in order to roll out 5G or mid-band spectrum. And so that's a giant CapEx increase. It was a huge boost in 2022. And so what we're seeing now in CapEx spending is dropping down to normal CapEx budgets.
Historically, when the carriers stop spending CapEx, guess what they do? They actually shift, they still have to spend OpEx. And their OpEx spend actually will typically go up over a typical year because they now need to start doing some work to fix, maintain, fine-tune all of that network.
Welcome to the 5G Guys podcast, the best resource for newcomers and industry insiders alike to explore not just 5G, but anything technology and telecommunications. We explore and discuss technology with guests of varying backgrounds and expertise to help you learn and stay current. So let's dive right in. Welcome the 5G Guys themselves, hosts Dan McVaugh and Wayne Smith.
Welcome back to the 5G Guys. Dan and I are excited to announce a new 5G Guys series.
That's right. We're launching a series today that we call Storytelling and Predictions. We decided to introduce this series for a couple reasons. Wayne, why don't you tell them the first reason?
Yeah, the first reason is we never want to steal our guests' thunder. You know, we have guests on our show to share their stories and their experiences.
Yeah, and the last thing we want to do is, you know, have an opinion that maybe contradicts with theirs. And now, it's not like we're not going to have opinions or tell stories, but we want them to have the stage so you can hear from them. So this will give us a chance to really dig into our experiences and our opinions and share that with you guys outside of the episodes with our guests.
Yeah, and a second reason would be that, you know, Dan and I have 30 years experience in telecom. We both learn that predictions about the future and it follows our past experiences on what we've experienced actually living, working, and breathing in the telecom environment.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I outside of, you know, the podcast and my daily work or just, you know, meeting people in the industry, I find myself constantly telling stories when somebody asks me, hey, what do you think is going to happen? Because I've gotten to the point, and this is speaking to our age a little bit, but it really does follow history. History repeats itself. There's patterns. So each episode, you know, we'll tell a great story or two, and that story will lead into the end of the episode where that'll, you know, form a prediction on that topic that either one of us might have.
Yeah, for sure. The format's going to be a bit different. We might do some together, but we're going to do them solo. And it's a short format, 10 to 15 minutes on a story that we've experienced in our careers, in our companies, and, you know, with our close associates.
Yeah, exactly. So we're excited about it. I think it's a new page for us. It's been 2 years now since we launched the podcast. So, you know, always learn and adapt. So that's what we're doing. Before we leave you today, we thought we'd tell a story together, and it's timely, I think, given the nature of the wireless telecom industry in the U.S., to talk about, you know, our history and our experiences with downturns in the wireless technology economy. And what do we think that means? What do you think?
I think it's a great topic. And it's definitely where we are. And it doesn't mean that it's negative or positive. It's just where we are.
Right.
So once you get us started.
Well, tell me, I'm going to ask you a question, okay, and then I'll answer the same question. In your career, how many times do you think you've seen something like what's going on right now, some sort of downturn that's sort of affecting the whole industry?
Yeah, so that's a really great question. And for our current company, Vertex Innovations, you know, we've just finished 20 years. And even through the economic crisis and COVID, we've always seen, hey, build, build, build. And so for me, you know, this kind of downturn where giant CapEx budgets rule the day, this is the first time in my 20 years that I've seen a substantial reduction in CapEx spending doesn't mean BAU spending or business as usual. It means CapEx spending.
Yeah, for sure. And that's a really good point that I'm glad you brought up, which is the difference between CapEx and OpEx spending. So we'll we'll touch on that before we finish. But for me, this is the third or fourth time that I've experienced this. The first would be, so I started my career in 94. The first, I mean, the late 90s were just a huge boom, right? Very similar to what, you know, the 4G rollout was a huge boom in this industry. And then we hit 2001 and there was some major, you know, Enron, MCI WorldCom sort of stuff that caused the telecom bubble to burst. And that hit, I mean, my company was, a year and a half old that I founded with two partners. And we lost all but one client. We had to lay off all but one employee. And we went, I don't know, 3-4 months without paying ourselves. It was rough. And it was a complete shut off of all, almost all spending, capital and OpEx. It was pretty rough.
That was 2001, right?
Yeah, 2001. Well, it was right after, 9/11, right? So it was end of 2001 and end of 2002. Yep, exactly. So it was like a double whammy, right? The U.S. economy got hit hard because of 9/11. And then the telecom industry was hit on top of that. So it was just a double whammy. It was really rough. I think it happened again. I want to say it was 2011, 12, 13, somewhere around there. And that was caused by this weird thing where AT&T and T-Mobile were trying to merge. So the Fed said, you guys got to stop all spending because we don't want any collusion. We don't want, right? We don't want T-Mobile building a cell site and AT&T not building a cell site because they're in the same location, blah, blah, blah. So they told them to stop spending. And then on top of that, AT&T bought DirecTV and stopped spending. They bought a cellular company in Mexico. Like, so it was like not a complete turnoff, but it was two-thirds, three-quarters of a turnoff in terms of capital spending. So that was really rough. And then, you know, kind of what we're going through now, but I wouldn't, they haven't like completely turned off spending now, right? It's just like they've, they've turned the faucet to a slower flow, a slower trickle. They're sort of regulating their spending a little bit. But I want to come back to a point you made, which was OpEx versus CapEx. Why don't you explain to our listeners, what's the big diff?
Yeah. And so, for two decades, CapEx is capital improvements to the network. OpEx is more maintenance type, managing the network, you know, your day-to-day maintenance activities and optimizing a network. And, you know, we have been chasing the G's for a couple decades, 3G, 4G, now 5G. And that fueled, and especially 5G, it fueled some massive CapEx budgets. So AT&T and Verizon are the two big dogs. We'll just use them as an example. You know, prior to 5G and sometime 4G, there was about, you know, somewhere between $13 and $15 billion a year per company in CapEx spending in network improvements. Along came 21, 22, you know, next thing you know, the CapEx is $22 billion a year in order to roll out 5G or mid-band spectrum. And that's the carriers also taking advantage of the spectrum that they bought for 5G. And so that's a giant CapEx increase. It only sounds like $6 or $7 billion a year, but in the terms of where we are, you know, it was a huge boost in 2022. And so kind of what we're seeing now in CapEx spending is dropping down to normal CapEx budgets. And one of the things that Dan and I talked about is that 5G was going to be cheaper in CapEx. Right? We did talk about that. We've said that numerous times that, hey, from what we understand, when 5G gets fully rolled out, it will be less CapEx spending.
Right.
Yeah. And one note I want to add about Vertex, because I didn't really have the financial. One of the services that we did, and we still do, you know, a lot of times we operate in niche markets and very hard to find, like we've not seen slowdowns, especially in the data center space where we build and build data centers. You know, yeah, we've had periods of year where we've had ups and downs, but right now we're getting ready to get to a data center explosion with AI coming. So we've really not seen the same kind of turndowns as a contractor would in building because we're still doing services for the carriers.
Right. Yeah. And you know what, we had a similar experience with my old company. And part of the reason was when historically, when the carriers stop spending CapEx, guess what they do? They actually shift. They still have to spend OpEx, and their OpEx spend actually will typically go up over a typical year because they now need to start doing some work to fix, maintain, fine tune all of that network. They spent a ton of CapEx on over the prior 4, 5, 6 years. So we were fortunate enough, and I can't say we took credit by that we designed the company this way, but we happened to be doing a lot of OpEx related work all the time for the carriers anyways, you know, drive testing, 911 call testing, Tiger teams that would go out and fix, you know, outages due to windstorms or lightning strikes or, you know, typically non CapEx things anyways. So when that pendulum would swing from CapEx to OpEx, we were fortunate enough that we could pivot with that spending with the carriers. That's not the case for a lot of companies. A lot of companies, they just chase that CapEx and they don't have that fortuitous opportunity to be also doing these OpEx related things. So, you know, I guess this is a good time to turn this into, you know, what do you think this all means for where we're at today and the next, I don't know, 2 to 5 years?
Yeah. So this is my prediction, you know, it's just from me seeing, and since our role at Vertex is to manage vendors, you know, we manage a lot of projects across the U.S. What we've seen is prior to 2020 and COVID, because COVID's a weird thing, right? We went through a lot of vendor consolidation during that time. A lot of PE money rolled in. They rolled these guys together. And so it took out a lot of the little guys prior to COVID time. Well, COVID happens and it changes all of our lives. And it really, from what I've seen in the industry, probably delayed the industry 3 to 6 months. You know, it just put a little bit of a slowdown to figure out how to do things safely. After that, we had this giant 5G rollout and CapEx going through the roof. What happens in those high moments? There's a lot of small companies that get started to fill the void of not having enough vendors. Mm-hmm. And so where are we at today and where's it going? I think, you know, in a lot of markets where we have too many vendors, mm-hmm. right? We have oversupply of contractors' ability to do the work in a tightening market of network build out. And what I mean by that is that, to your point, are we going to stop? We're not. We're only halfway through mid-band deployment, but this is going to be more strategic. One of the services that we've talked about that really will go into play in the future is FWA.
Right.
And if you think about it, you know, for the carriers, it is, they already have these customers. It's one more service add-on. There's, you know, once mid-band is brought into those cell sites, then that's not really a whole lot of work to onboard an FWA customer.
Right.
Right. And so you're going to start to see higher marketing activities from the carriers trying to add these additional services on, which will be less work for in an oversupplied labor supply market in this specialty contractor side.
Yeah.
So my prediction, we will continue to see. Hey, one thing too. Oh yes, we have been pushing hard as vendors, right? We have been building. So we have built from what I understand, and I think in some markets people will disagree, we have a little bit of overcapacity and we need to let the demand catch up with the capacity, which will slow the build rate until capacity becomes the number one thing. We need more network capacity.
Right.
And so I think we're going to, you know, we'll see some work during 2023, but we will start to see a decline until capacity is filled up. We can understand how the new services like FWA, and then, one last note. One thing that's happening in the telecom wireless world and the carrier world is that in an unprecedented, it never happened before, our government gave $50 billion for rural broadband.
Hmm.
So just think about that if you're running a business. Guess what? You have no competitors for fiber and broadband. The government says, here's $50 billion. Get all these competitors to start up. It actually hurts the carriers in their deployment because now there's so many more choices. Mm-hmm. Now, is that bad for the consumer? No, they got more choices. But that is something substantially going to change their model, because now there's all this money out there and they're building this capacity. And what do we normally do in our business in telecom? We overbuild capacity. We did in 2001. We have over time. So that's my prediction, Dan. I'll hand it over to you to hear yours.
Yeah, it's probably similar. There will be a cycle. Typically, when there's downturns like this, what happens is the herd is kind of thinned a bit, right? There's going to be, and there already are. I've got a client right now that after 20 plus years as a construction company, he's decided he's just going to hang it up. And, you know, so there's going to be some thinning of the herd in that way. There are actually some very forward-thinking folks that strike right now in terms of it's a good time to buy because you can buy companies affordably. So there'll be some consolidation. So you'll come out the back end of this downturn with a smaller supply chain in terms of number of companies. And then to your point, I agree that there's some overbuilt capacity right now. So that'll also cause a little bit of a reduction in capital spend for a little bit. But then all of a sudden, you'll hit a takeoff. And I know when that story I told about us, you know, getting so slow in 2001, 2002, when we came out the back end of that, man, we hit that hockey stick and we took off like crazy because we were one of the survivors. We were one of the ones that didn't get thinned in the herd. And there was all of a sudden a huge influx of work to be done. So, you know, I think those that can buckle down, they can be strategic about their thinking, will survive this and they'll take off and do amazingly well on the back end when things turn back around. We're in year 5 roughly of a 10-year generational build cycle. 3G, 4G, they take about 10 years. We're in about year 5 for 5G right now. So you're going to see these networks mature. You're going to see a lot of OpEx spend on making them work better. A lot of people have said, you know, hey, my 5G kind of sucks. Well, it's because it's at that time where they need to really optimize it, clean it up, get it working well. And so that's, you know, I've seen it before numerous times, and I that's my prediction. It'll be the same thing again. And I really don't think this is going to be as bad of a downturn as we've seen in the past either. I think it's, like I said, it's a little bit of slowing the flow of CapEx to a lower flow or maybe a trickle at times, but not just a shut off like we've seen before. So, yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
Right. Well, hey, this is great for our first storytelling and prediction episode. Everyone look forward to, we'll be interspersing these. Like Wayne said, some of them or a lot of them will be either Wayne going solo or me going solo, but, and then, you know, we'll have our regular episodes that you guys are used to hearing with guests. And so we're excited about it and happy to have you guys along for the journey.
Yep. Thanks everyone.
All right. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the 5G Guide. For more resources and to connect with Dan and Wayne, check out their website at 5gguys.com. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to hit that follow button and share this episode with your friends and family.